I get a weekly email from a very, very, very choshev Talmid Chacham in Eretz Yisrael called Rav Yehuda Aryeh Dunna. Emes of exceptional Talmid Chacham. He gives every week a shtick, email. He's got two. One is halacha, one is more divrei Torah. I want to tell you what he says, a story this week. It's a brilliant story. I never heard this story. And I thought, and I knew the stories of Chaim Oza. But here is a new story, He connected to the parsha, but we'll leave that part out. We'll get to the. So the story goes like this, Abayisai. Hope it's not the story you're going to say later. Okay. The makor for this story, I got this from a weekly Dvar Torah sheet from Rabbi Yehuda. I don't have further evidence to this to either prove it or disprove it, but it definitely works out with the years. It all works out in terms of years, place, and character. It all fits perfectly, beautifully, correctly. Okay, so the story goes that Chaim Oza Gorzhinsky was between the First and the Second War. He was the ultimate halachic authority, probably worldwide, certainly Europe-wide. He was between the wars, he was the man. He was a gone, Eloi, and besides everything else, a tzaddik. Extremely unfortunate, he didn't have any children. Well, he had a daughter that Nebuch died in as a teenager, but there's no surviving grandchild of Chaim Oza. It's a tragedy in its own right. Closest relatives are family Kosovsky, who are nephews of Chaim Oza. But either way, so Chaim Oza Gorzhinsky, he visited once. He was also very active. He was an active askin. Besides an outstanding halachic authority, he was also very widely connected, and he was very active in terms of askonus activism. And he was a lot of people that got into prison. He was the one helping them. The yeshivas who had no financial funding, he was the one sorting them out. Kehilas that he was incredibly. When you look at the letters that he wrote, hundreds and hundreds of tshuvas, majority of them, not even halachic, they actually askonus. And here goes the story. At one point, he went to Frankfurt am Main. What a beautiful story, Rabbi. What a beautiful story. He went to Frankfurt am Main to go some fundraising. And where does he stay? When he is for a few days in Frankfurt am Main, by which family is he going to stay? The most prominent, beautiful palace mansion in Frankfurt am Main, of course, belonged to family Rothschild, of course, the Rothschilds. So there was, of course, the Baron Rothschild, otherwise known as Willy Rothschild, who had the most beautiful mansion. Apparently the first, so I just read recently, was the first house who had plumbing. The first house, in other words, where there's a toilet and a bathroom in the house, was Rothschild's in Frankfurt am Main. So the house still stands, apparently so. And the Rothschilds were, he stayed by Baron Rothschild, which makes a lot of sense in terms of year, place, and characters. He said, and here was the first Friday night, and he was very extravagant. Baron Rothschild, was very frum. He was the only frum Rothschild, He was a proper Baal Tshuva, and his father was. He was a proper frum, proper. What we would call nowadays a Baal Tshuva. He was properly frum, and he gave loads of money to Tzedakah. Really incredible figures. And he had no children himself. He had no children, so there's no surviving grandchildren of Baron Rothschild, Willy Rothschild, but. It's a shame. The only one that was from, no descendants of him. It's Chaim Oza Gorzhinsky staying by Baron Rothschild Shabbos Friday night, and he's about to make kiddush. So he's got his kois, his becha with wine, and table laid beautifully, regally, beautiful. I'm sure he looked. We can only imagine what Baron Rothschild Shabbos table must have looked like. And here I've got Chaim Oza, who is bringing the kibbutz to make kiddush. He's about to make Kiddush, but he checks everything is in order. He's got his becha, he's got his wine, everything, but he looks and there's no challah here. Where's the challah? He looks around here, looks around there, challah. So gives a little look at Baron Rothschild, the Balach Sanya, the person who gives him the honor, who hosts him. He says, where? Challah. He says, oh, the challah, said Baron Rothschild. The becha here, what you think is a becha? that's actually, it looks like silver, but it's actually challah. It's actually challah, which is a very sophisticated, elegant way of, the silver is just kind of, I don't know, chocolate thing, and the inside is challah, it's a challah, it's a proper challah. So the way we make, we make kiddush on this, afterwards we make lechemishna on this challah becha. And that's it. Checks it. Yeah, it makes sense. It touches it. Hanir Abraham always thinks for a split second. He looks. He checks, and he makes kiddush. Later on, Abraham Oza makes kiddush, and after he makes amotzi, and he goes. Later on, Abraham Oza explained his split second hesitation, because there was a split second hesitation. And Abraham Oza, the greatest gone and of the generation. He said, I had a real suffix over here. And my suffix was that it says in Shulchan Aruch that there's something problematic about this cover chalas. That's it, cover chalas. He said, you've got to cover the chalas.
Wrong bracha.
No, you've got the yain inside it. So, but you're right, you're allowed, you must cover the chalas. He said, there's an uncovered, because why is it uncovered?
It's two as well.
Yeah, just, but maybe it was another becher around. So I was thinking about that as well. There might have been another becher around.
Is he covering with his hand?
No, so he said it's not covered. Pardon?
It's covered in chocolate.
Yeah, no, but it's not called covered. You've got to cover it from the wine. It's got to be covered. The challah's got to be covered. So Chamoza said, I can't, this is against halacha. This challah is not covered. It's not covered. But then after he says, I was about to point something out to Brown really Rothschild. You know, I can't really make kiddush, like it's against the halacha. Simon Reish Peibav, you've got to cover the challah. This challah is not covered. But then after he says, no, he says, no. Why?
You think,
oh, very good, that's beautiful. He says, what's the reason why? He thought to himself, what is the reason why we've got to cover the challah? Not to shame them.
The wine.
Not to shame the wine. Not the wine. That's right. Yeah. We cover the challah, not to embarrass. Not to embarrass it. Not to embarrass the challah. That's why we have to cover it. And that's the halacha. Why? He says, I'm about to make a complaint now. It's the Chaim Oza. All in split seconds. I'm going to complain to Baron Rothschild about the halacha that the challah is not covered, which we have to do in order not to embarrass it. And the way is inevitably going to, I'm going to do this, inevitably I'm going to embarrass him. Imagine I'm going to tell him, this is against halacha to do it like this. I'm going to embarrass Baron Rothschild by telling him this is against halacha. He says, what am I gaining from this? The whole idea is not to embarrass the challah. Baron Rothschild is no worse than the challah. So he decided against telling him anything, and he moved on. After the split second hesitation of Abraham Oza Gudzinski. What a beautiful story. I really liked it. Okay. Rabbi Sai, we are up to Simon Tovkuf Samach Vov. No excuses tonight. No excuses. We're going to finish the Zayin and Tziv Ches. Be it as you may, we're going to have to finish this because we're going to get to Simon Tovkuf Samach Zayin, which is the halachas of brushing teeth, mouthwash, etc. on fast days. Okay, but let's just get there. Betaynes tzibu yamdu shnaim etzel shliach tzibu. Page 84, second line. Honatanes tzibu yamdu shnaim etzel shliach tzibu. I've never seen this happening. This is one of those halachas. Do you know, this is the lucky shulchan aruch and the unlucky shulchan aruch. I think this is a really unlucky one. Honatanes tzibu, there are two people have to stand by shliach tzibu. Tell me if that happens in your shul. Oh, that's interesting. One side, you're going to have one person standing. On the other side, you're going to have another person standing. That should help you with slichas. Should say within the slichas. Why? Why do you have to have two people next to the shliach tzibur on tanis? Second wide line in Mishnah Busif, Kotten Chav Beis. Yam du Shnaim. Tealfino me Moshe, we learn that from Moshe. Lechsi ve Aaron ve Chur, Tom Chubiotov Mize Echot. He says by Moshe Rabbeinu, it was Aaron on one side, Chur on the other side, who supported Moshe. Ve Kosu Achonim Da'ach, yeah, what? Slichas. Slichas. So now, Mishnah Berurah points out something which I suppose we're all aware of. Because we're achonim she'achshav ein noyagin bazeh. It's not the minik. Because everybody says it together, shliach tzibur. Rabbis, I've never seen this. Have you? By slichas, chazan, two sides. Never seen it. And I suppose, as the Mishnah Berurah said, that's not the minik anymore. But it sounds like a nice minik. No. That's not where it comes from, but yeah. Seif Tess. That's Seif Ches Aboisai. Kol Tainas Tzibu Yesh Bo Nisiyesh Kol Tainas Tzibu Ebi Fasta Yesh Bo Nisiyas Kapayim B'mincha Chutz Miyom Kippa. Every Tainas Tzibu has got Tuchening B'mincha Chutz Miyom Kippa besides Yom Kippa. Is that true? In Eretz Yisrael. Tuchening? Do you do duchen on a fast day?
Every day.
Look at that. So in Chutzlar, it's a bit of a shayla, but yes, it's certainly the way it should be. Rabbi Yisai, it's one of those things that nobody really understands. Nobody really understands why we don't duchen every day like we do in Eretz Yisrael. Why do we do? We just, you know, yotze, yotzen, why don't we duchen every day? It's a mitzvah, asay de reise, to get birkas kohanim. Why don't we do that? Pardon? There are not less or more miyuchas in Eretz Yisrael than here. It's the same families. It's so following the goal. Yes. So famously, I know you're referring to the famous story of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon tried to reestablish duchening in Vilna. Tried to reestablish daily duchening, and they decided, it was announced next Monday. I don't understand why we're not duchening. Duchening is a mitzvah. Say the rest. We've got a duchening next Monday. And the night before he starts duchening, what happened? Shul got burnt down. She says, oh, if that's the case, we're not going to do it. You're going to ask me what it says, like Bashamayimi, you know, you don't pass him things like that. I know, I don't really know. But the Vilna Gaon understood that you can't change minogim like that. So, but yes, our component with regards to a tainus, so we do it in Nesias Kapayim Bamincha. In our country, says the Ramah, the meaning is only to do Tuchening Musaf of Yom Tov, Kvanis Bible Chaznisias Kapayim, as we discussed in Nesil Chaznisias Kapayim. So that's it. So the meaning is not to do any Tuchening, says the Ramah. No Tuchening on the only days we do Tuchening really is Nesias Kapayim of Yom Tov. Instead of that, we do Elikin Viknab Seinu. Okay, so now, so we're ready for Simon Tovku Samach Zayin. Rabbi Yisai, Te'ime v'rechitz is a peshe mutter b'tainas. Tasting, washing mouth on fast days. Rinsing the mouth on fast day. Mutter also. Rinsing the mouth. It's fine? Rinsing mouth? Yeah, what about brushing teeth? Ways of doing it? Let us see, you're right. Let us see. Hashori betainus, somebody who is in a fast day. Yocholi toim, you're allowed to have the taste of kedei revis. You're allowed to put your revis in the mouth. You're fasting, you're allowed to put your revis in your mouth. Ubelvat shiflot, as long as you spit it out. So you're allowed to be, what does that mean in other words? You're allowed to
taste.
Yeah. Uviyam kippur v'tisha b'av also, but as you pointed out, as you correctly pointed out, tisha b'av yom kippur, you're not allowed to do that either. So on a regular fast, on a minor fast, you can put something in your mouth, then you spit it out. No, but no, when it comes to tisha b'av yom kippur, you're not allowed to do that. V'yesh machmi b'chol tainis tzibah v'achinu agindramo says, the minig is to be stringent in any fast days as well. Some people have that stringency. Why? Okay. Yeah. Tameo chaim zochu. Yeah, you want to taste the Shabbos food. Yeah. So that's the shaila over here. So we've learned that there is Why is it okay? Why is it okay? Why is it okay to put something in your mouth and spit it out? Why? Says the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkot Na'alav Yochalitom, Im Yesh Bamelach Etavlin, Teloi Kebal Aleo Shelo Yene, there's no problem to benefit from it. You know, you don't have a problem of, you're not to benefit from, but, Teloi Kebal Shelo Yene, Elo Shelo Yoichal Vayishte, Vezeh Loi Mikri Achile Vashtiyah. The problem is not to eat and drink on a fast day. On a fast, you're not allowed to eat, you're not allowed to drink. This is not considered eating and drinking. What is that called? Spitting, whatever, mushing. That's not. The problem with eating and drinking, as long as, and that's going to be really important now for our discussion, as long as you know for sure you're not eating, as long as you know for sure you're not drinking, there is no problem on fast days, certainly on the minor fast days, because the tightness is an issa, a restriction of not allowed to eat and drink. That's not called eating and drinking. It's just spitting it out. Okay, we leave safe base for tomorrow because, let me just summarize what we learned tonight. We learned on the Tainus Tzibum, we learned that two people are standing by the sides. She says, Slichas with Mishnah Berurah says that's not Minhag. We learned Duchening. Mishnah Berurah, Shulchan Aruch talks about Duchening. The Mos said the Minhag is only to Duchen Yom Tov, Musaf. And we spoke about tasting, which is fine as long as you're spitting it out, besides Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. Hamas said there's a chumra and a minik not to do that on any fast day. Okay, before we hear, Rabbi Yossel, who is happy to share with us Tvar Torah next Thursday? Who's Hashem? Who's Tan? Is it? We haven't heard. Who's? He'll do it? Eb Gideon, are you on? Eb Gideon? Okay. Okay, I'm getting you. Apparently, you're talking next Thursday.
I'm not around. I'm not here on Thursdays. Ask me another day.
Okay, you'll talk on Wednesday. Shkoyach. No, you come and you'll say the Dvar Torah on Wednesday. All right. Okay. Good. Fine. Yes. If you're still well. Thank you.
Hello, Rishis Arov. I'm not sure about the link of this with what we're learning, but I've tried to tell it. That's a nice backdrop, Gideon. How do you manage to concentrate with that backdrop?
How do
you concentrate with that backdrop? It's just, I've got to switch. I won't be able to think about what I'm saying. With that.
What's that?
The link about the Kudra I found from this week's Sedra and what we're learning, I've tried to link it together, but it's tenuous. So, Moshe changes Yeshua's name from Hoshea to Yehoshua. And the Pashup Shat brought is that's to remind him, to remind Yeshua and his companions that he who saved him in the past, the Loshon Hoshea, the Loshon of saving, will see to our salvation in the future, and that Hashem's with the power of all good and all toiv, and all wonderful things. The issue is that if you convert Hoshea into the future grammatically, it comes out as Yehoshea, not Yehoshua. It comes out as Yehoshea, not Yehoshua. So why is it that if the meaning of it is that we should be thinking that the person who saved us, Hashem who saved us, will save us in the future, it should be Yehoshea, not Yehoshua. So actually, Rav Shmuel Wal Hirsch says that actually the root of Hoshea, of saving, is changed into the new word of his new name Yehoshua. Is changed to the to Meloshen Yeshua, saving, to the root of Shava, which means something else, which I'll explain in a minute. With Ka at the beginning, Ka was when Hashem's name is a prefix. So just comparing the two routes, the old route, which is Meloshon and Hoshua, saving, and the new one, which is Meloshon Shav, which is means something else. Saving means the idea of saving is that our existence should be saved as Yidden, both as, on an individual level and as a collective level in Klal Yisrael. But the Loshon Shav relates to Yesh, and it relates to the Loshon Soveya. Yesh and Soveya relate to Shefa and Bracha, and the idea of not saving, but the idea of owning and possessing richness and opulence and luxury. And therefore, Yoshua's mission going forward converts the saving into a period of prosperity and bracha, but during that period of prosperity and bracha, where there is the shefa and the yesh of possession, that we have to understand the source of all bracha and possession and ownership of things is Hashem. So that's why the prefix of ka is put before it, and that's why it changes. Then that's why it's Yoshua rather than Yoshia. Because when Yeshua ben Nun was going to be prosper and win military victories and that sort of thing, had to acknowledge that Hashem is behind it rather than Koichav Etzem Yadi. A little bit like the transition between Pesach and Shavuos, where we go from physical freedom, that's the saviour, into what we need to then convert the freedom from into the avoda of what we need to do with that freedom that we have. It's the same sort of thing. We're given richness and prosperity, and that has to be converted into doing things to Shem Shemayim, rather than thinking Kochim Betzim Yad, it's all down to us and we've done this. So how do we compare that? How do we bring that to what we're doing in Dirshu? The only way I could think of linking it was we're learning about fasting. Fasting, why do we fast on a communal level? Maybe because we need rain or because there's a problem in the community. On a personal level, maybe because we had a bad dream or the underlying theme of it is to taking a step back from the physical so that we can go vital more, strike vital more in the spiritual. And it's the same sort of thing in a way as to why the car has to be in the beginning of Yeshua's name, so that you can always remind himself of why he's here and what he's doing. So that's part, in many ways, the reason why we fast is to give us the opportunity to take a step back and recalibrate and understand what we're doing, why we're doing it.
Brilliant.
Very, very nice. I saw it. I thought that was the one. I was flicking through, and I thought that was the one.
It's a classic, you know, the way the Yoshia grammatically, I'm saying correctly, very good. Thank you so much. Really, really enjoyed.